Good morning. I'm going to read the scripture this morning that Keith is going to bring the sermon on today. And while I think it's always a blessing and honor to read the scripture, I have to question Keith's wisdom in asking me to read this particular one. This is Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm also talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Well, John's watching, you know, on the live feed. So there you go. Hi, John. And no doubt you'll have a conversation with Ruth when she gets home. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are trusting in you as we always do, that your word will be living and powerful, and that your spirit will awaken and open our eyes and hearts to the truth. Help us, Lord, to work through this passage that has some difficulties, especially in our culture today, and help us to know what you are saying, Lord, and bless our time together. We trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Spirit-filled marriage. And there's a reason why I've entitled it that. There was, last week, as we looked at it, the passage that we're looking at in Ephesians 5 has a command to be filled with the Spirit. And then flowing from that command, there's all sorts of teaching that flows out of being filled with the Spirit. And the first was what we saw last week, to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody in your hearts and give thanks to the Lord through Jesus Christ. But then he moves into three specific areas where the implications of and the flow on from being filled with the Spirit affects daily living. And the first one is marriage. Then we'll see the one on parenting. And then thirdly, in our employment. Back then it was slaves and masters, and slaves weren't the slaves of that we think of today. They were more like employees. And so there's the slave and the master employment situation where the filling of the Spirit is meant to impact our lives. And as we're looking at this whole idea of our new identity in Christ, we've seen that we have this new identity. We belong to him. We are in Christ. We are new creatures, new creations. And as a result, it impacts the way we live. And as I said, these last three chapters of Ephesians are all full of the implications of being new in Christ and having our new identity. Marriage has been brought to a very low level in our culture, and often it's ignored as either irrelevant, or it's redefined to legalize what God has never designed, or it's regarded as an unnecessary vestige of the past. But God designed marriage. It wasn't something that was dreamt up. It wasn't something that was evolved over time. It was right at the beginning. God created man and woman, and he put them together and said, therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. That was God's plan in creating us, male and female, humans, in his image on planet Earth. God designed marriage, and so we need to see what he says here, because this is probably the principal passage in the Bible on marriage. So we really need to look at it from that perspective. The key command to be being filled, to be filled, but to continually, all through every day, to be continually filled with the Spirit, coming under his control, as we saw last week, allowing him to rule in our lives, which is essentially allowing Jesus to rule in our lives and to fill us. That is the command, and then there's some participles, present participles. Now, this sounds really, I don't know, it's grammar, and I don't want you to be bored with grammar, but it is really, really important that we understand this, that there is the one command to be filled with the Spirit, to be being filled, and then the participles that follow are the flow on, and really it should be translated, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another. Be filled with the Spirit, wives submitting to their husbands. Be filled with the Spirit, husbands loving their wives. And so on as you go on through the rest of the three areas of life that we'll be looking at in the future as well. So these are not commands. You are not commanded, Ruth, to submit to your husband. it's not a command. It is saying this is what will be evidenced in your life, in married life, and in bringing up children and in employment, if you're filled with the Spirit. So, Spirit-filled marriage, what does it look like? First of all, I want to say that what I saw in this as I was preparing, I believe God's Spirit led me to this, that it is the beauty of the marriage relationship. Now, as you know, when you go back to Genesis and the story of God's creation, the account, should I say, not story, but it makes it sound like a myth, the account of God's creation, where Adam and Eve were meant to be companions. It is not good for man to be alone. So God created, he could have created them both at once, but he wanted them to see, and wanted us to see that the whole idea behind a man and a woman being married is companionship. It's not good to be alone. So I will make for you a wife, and here she is, and brought them together. Therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We attain our full realization as humans in relationship. And in all sorts of relationships, but the closest, most intimate, most special and precious relationship is a husband and a wife. So the beauty of marriage relationship, it parallels here in this passage the church. Just as Christ loves the church, and has a special relationship with the church, with people in the church, with you, with me. Now, you can foster that relationship. You can develop it. You can walk in the Spirit. You can love the Lord and draw near to him and pray and worship and give thanks and experience his presence. Or you can walk your Christian life without doing that. That's up to you. But that relationship is there, and the Lord longs to be close to you. And so, as the church and Christ, so marriage between a husband and a wife. And the purpose is to present her as a radiant, if you like, a beautiful church. And so, the idea there is beauty. We saw last chapter that you put off the old clothes and you put on the new, and the new is beautiful. So how then does it look to have a spirit-filled marriage? Well, there's the beauty of mutual submission. It says in verse 21, be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ, or submit to one another. I'm so glad that we have an M&C, because I'm part of the, I meet with the M&C board, and it's a wonderful thing to have a group who are a board, who are a committee, who function as one. Now, there's some very strong people, including me, strong-minded, and have our own ideas, very strong in our faith and what we believe should happen, but there's a mutual submission in that group. And it's beautiful. I've been in committees where you've had people with their own agendas, and we all have our own agendas, really, if we're honest, but they push their own agenda. They fight for it. They get aside with others and lobby to get their thing through. And it's so difficult to have a unity and a single purpose and work together as a board if you've got somebody or more than one who have their own agendas. But when we are mutually submissive to one another, it works. And I've got to tell you, I love being a part of the M&C board because of that. When you are submissive, you actually relinquish your own rights. You say, I won't be selfish and push my thing. I'm part of a team here. And isn't it the same? That's what it's meant to be. He's writing here to the whole church. He's saying not just to husbands and wives. He's saying to everybody, we're to be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. Our reverence or our submission to Jesus Christ is expressed in our submission to one another. And not just for a board, but for the whole church. And again, we're in a church where you don't have anyone with agendas pushing them. Not that I know of. It's wonderful. Don't let that change. Please. And it's a spirit of submission. It's a spirit of humble humility, of selflessness. The spectrum of love, like kindness and forgiveness, serving one another, is all part of being submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not only is there the beauty of mutual submission, but I see here the beauty of submissive love. Now, the S word here, submit, can be very embarrassing for Christians in this culture, right? And I bet some of you came along this morning thinking, now, how's he going to deal with this? I wonder if he's going to be really right or really left. Oh, that's right there. It's my shoulders right. Yeah, really right or really left. How's he going to deal with this? Well, wait till the end because I'm going to deal with it, but don't make your decision until we come to the end of the sermon, please, if I get there. I remember there used to be, in our vows, because I've married many, many people, and they used to say, will you love, honour to the wife, and obey? We've dropped that out, and rightfully so. In the early days of our marriage, when we had a bit of a barney, do you use that word? A bit of a barney. Oh, really? Well, there's another new word to learn. Well, a barney, you can get the picture. It's, you know, when we have a bit of an argument or something like that. And it's normally over a decision we have to make. And I would say, the Bible says you have to submit. She comes straight back at me and says, the Bible says you have to love. So when we talk about submission now, don't forget we're going to be dealing with love. And so I need to see what is submission. But before we look at what is submission, we need to see what it is not. First of all, it does not imply inferiority, because God created all equal. We are created in the image in the image of God, male and female. We were redeemed, what's more. Not only created equal, we were redeemed equal, as it says in 1 Peter. Heirs together in the grace, or of the grace of God. In the early centuries, like at the time when this was written, back then, the first century, submission was not something new. If Paul stood up in a group of people in the marketplace and said, "Wives, submit to your husbands," we are already. It was normal, because the women then were viewed as inferior. They were the possession of their husbands. They had no legal rights. They were regarded as less intelligent, so they were not educated. And the Christian message was actually subversive. It came through saying women should be given freedom and power and value. It actually was transforming. It was actually quite radical. To give you an idea, Demosthenes, a prominent Greek statesman and orator, said, and I've got a lot of quotes that I could have brought, but I've just got one. He said this about women of that and husbands of that day who were married. And he says, "We, men, have courtesans, or prostitutes, for the sake of pleasure. We have concubines for the sake of daily cohabitation. And we have wives for the purpose of having children legitimately and having a faithful guardian for all our household affairs." The submission that Paul is talking about is not inferiority. Secondly, it is not to be enforced. It's not enforced at all. It's not subjugation. It's not being coerced. It's not begrudging submission. It is something that is voluntary and joyful. It is, wives, submit to your husband, just like we are submitting to one another in the body of Christ. This is an expression of selflessness. Women down through the ages have been exploited, suppressed, and have suffered abuse and been denied justice simply because they were women, for no other reason. And history has got record after record, right down through history and even today in some cultures. After the fall, this is really important to understand. After the fall, God said he gave the curses, if you like, because of their turning from God in rebellion and sin. And he said to the serpent, and he said to the man, and he said to the woman. To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." That is not stating what the marriage should be like. He's stating a curse. He's saying, and the word rule there is harsh exploitation, heavy-handed rule. That is the idea. So he's saying that your special relationship now has been affected by the fall so much so that, woman, Eve, you are going to be harshly treated. You're going to be ruled over by your husband as a result of sin entering into the world. And that's what history has shown. The radical gospel has turned that upside down and made women elevated to the level of men, equal in every respect. And we need to praise God for that. The influence of the Christian faith in the world today has done that, among other things. The fall brought disharmony, but the new identity in Christ brings harmony and beauty. So, and thirdly, I've already dealt with this, but it is not a command. Be filled with the Spirit is the command, submitting to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, headship is not lordship, because it talks there about submitting because he is the head. And what he's saying here is that in the relationship God has ordained that the man should be the head. Like in any partnership for life, there's got to be a leader. And it really means leadership. Loving leadership. The husband is responsible. He is the one who's going to give account for the marriage and for the home. Because he's the head. He's the leader. He's the one that God holds accountable. Now, you might argue with that, but that's what the Bible says. And if you change what the Bible says because of culture or because of your own views, as Augustine said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, it's yourself. I like that. So headship in the marriage is patterned on Jesus Christ, who became our servant, who called us to serve in leadership. And so what is submission then? We've looked at what it is not. It is respect and it is selflessness. To relinquish your rights, to give up on self-centeredness, and to respect. In verse 33 of this passage where Paul summarizes all that he said about marriage, and he says, therefore you men ought to love your wives like your own bodies, and you wives need to respect. So he changes the word from submit to respect when he sums it up at the end. It's a humble, selfless, loving respect. And it says here to submit to your husbands in everything. It is something that will fill your life. It is the filling of the Spirit that will bring you to that place. And we used to sing that song, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Do you know that one? All his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. And that is what submission is meant to be here. It is meant to be the beauty of a selfless life that respects the leadership that God has ordained within the marriage and loves with respect. So it complements the husband's love and care, and there's nothing demeaning about it. And thirdly, the beauty of sacrificial love. We've looked at the beauty of mutual respect, submission. We've looked at the beauty of loving submission by the wife. Now we look at the beauty of sacrificial love. And how beautiful is that when it's seen in our Lord Jesus Christ and echoed in the lives of the men and women who have gone out from this nation and from Australia as well to give their lives and to be willing to give up their lives in the pursuit of freedom and in the protection of people. The beauty of sacrificial love. No greater love has anyone than this, that a man lay down or a woman, people lay down their lives for their friends. I want to say to you men, do you love your wives? I mean, do you love your wife? Of course you love your wife, but do you love on your wife? That's a saying that we don't have in Australia, to love on. And I've heard it here so many times, I like it. It's not just to say I love someone, I love on them. I express that love in different ways. Do you love on your wife? There's times when Marg and I don't like each other. More often she doesn't like me because I mess up and I do stupid things or say something I shouldn't or whatever. And I don't blame her. Like I fail, in other words, what I'm saying. I'm nothing to do with her. But what I'm saying is, there's times when you don't like each other. If I said to Marg at that time, "Do you love me?" I hope you don't mind, Coochie. Okay. But we're always loving. We always love each other. There's a love that is a committed love. Our feelings come and go. We may like and may not like at times, but our love is committed to one another for life. And the love of the husband here is that kind of love, because it's the word agape, because it has a minimum of feeling and it has a maximum of commitment. So husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Whether he felt for it or felt for the church, had compassion or not, is another thing. But he loved by giving himself. And that's what it says, that he gave himself up for her. That's the kind of love that a husband has for his, or should have for his wife. And in the first century, submission was not new teaching, but loving your wife like that was. So the radical part of this teaching on marriage for the first century Christians was that husbands were to love their wives, committed to them, holding them up, honoring them, wanting the best for them. Hasn't changed. We are to live to bless our wives. And it talks there about when you, it compares with looking after your own body. When your body is hungry, what do? Say, you just do nothing about it? No, you go and get a Big Mac or something. You're hungry, so you fill your stomach. You respond to that need immediately or whenever you can. When you're thirsty, the same. When you're in danger, you protect yourself. And so you are able to care for your own body, and that's why Paul says here you should love your wife in that way, that just as you care for your own body, you need to care for her in the same way. Loving leadership. Husbands are to serve, not dominate. To give, not get. The headship, if it does involve power, and it doesn't, it's leadership. That's not power. But even if it does have power to that headship, it's power to care, not control. Power to serve, not be served. Loving leadership, listen to this, loving leadership is in essence submission. Because when I love my wife more than I love myself, because that's what love is, treating someone else better than yourself, being concerned for someone else more than yourself, like Jesus, who was willing to give up his life because he cared for others more than he cared for himself. So when I love my wife more than I love myself, I'm really submitting to her, because her needs, her wants, her desires become more important than my own. And so submission means to give oneself up for another, right? When you submit to one another, you give up your selfish ambitions, your agenda, whatever it is. You give up yourself for another. Love means to give up yourself for another. It's the same thing. So don't be concerned about submission when you marry it with love. And that's exactly what it is, a marriage. A wife is to love her husband enough to live for him. And a husband is to love his wife enough to die for her. I'll repeat that. The wife is to love her husband enough to live for him. And the husband is to love his wife enough to die for her. And that's marriage. A chauvinist husband was very demanding. He actually got his wife to write down all the do's and don'ts, the rules that he had in his in the family and in the home. And that list was constantly brought up before her. What about this and what about that? And when she didn't or did something and so on. So she grew to hate her husband. No doubt that would happen. She certainly lost her love for him and had so much hatred or opposition to that kind of rule that she was really pleased when he died, well, not really pleased, but you know what I mean. He died and she didn't really grieve very much. All right. I'm telling a story here. It's not real, probably. I don't know. I read it somewhere. Anyway, he died, and it wasn't too long afterwards that she fell in love with another guy. And they got married. But this new husband, loved her and loved on her. So much so that one day, a number of years later, she happened to find the old list that she had from her previous husband in some drawer somewhere, and she pulled it out and had a look at it, and she was amazed. Because all the to-dos and all the do's and don'ts were listed out there, and she was not working by the rules anymore, but she found that she was doing with her new husband all the do's and don'ts that she had been made to do and don't do with the first husband. And you know, that's what marriage is meant to be. It's meant to be love that causes us to want to do wives for your husbands and husbands for your wives in marriage, bringing you together as one because your love is expressed in those ways, which is really much the same thing. So may that be true of our marriages, and may we seek to encourage others to do the same in their marriages as we have opportunity with our children and grandchildren, and have influence in their lives as well. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will help us to live out your Spirit's filling in a way that will impact our church and be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ, and our marriages as we love each other in submissive and in sacrificial ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.